It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown.
You're pretty, but not inside. People being bullied and hurt isn't funny. You'd probably spend your whole life giggling at other people's hurt.
Other people's pain.
And then go to heaven. You'll be with him in heaven. Well, if you're that shitty of a person, would you go to heaven? Why wouldn't he say you'll be with him in hell?
I guess all pricks go to heaven.
Well, welcome to the B-Movie Breakdown. I'm Corey.
I'm DRC.
And this is a weekly podcast where we find the humor and enjoyment in low-budget and lesser-known films of the past and present. From the good, the bad, and the what the fuck, each week's movie will be revealed in the prior episodes, so you two can join in on the madness. You can listen to us if you subscribe on iTunes, on our website, bnbpodcast.com, or on Stitcher. You can reach us with any suggestions or comments or reviews yourself on these movies on our website, on our email, bnbpodcast@gmail.com, on our Twitter @bnbpodcast, or on Facebook, facebook.com/bnbpodcast. I forgot to mention, last week, and I think maybe the week before, our theme song was written by Jonathan Mann. Check him out, jonathanmann.net, man with two N's. This week's movie, The Pit from 1981, was suggested on Twitter from @movievigilante, or movieviewerman, as the other name says on here. I like to thank that person for that. Miranda Griswold @ONO Files. I couldn't remember what we decided on last week, but the ONO Files is, I guess, what we'll say. She suggested Ghoulies 3, and that will most likely be our next movie, Ghoulies Go to College. They put the A in Mayhem.
Not the M in Monster? Or...
Anyways, this week's movie is 1981's The Pit. It's not available on Netflix like most of our movies are. It is actually available on YouTube in full for free. Just search The Pit 1981. Whoa, this movie was something else. I can't believe I've never seen this movie before or even heard of this movie before. It was from Canada, but I did see on Amazon, you can buy it in a like a multi thing or something. It comes with some other movie, like some other cheese horror flick or something like that. Yeah, I've literally never seen this movie before. I never heard of this movie before. The main kid, Sammy Snyders, who plays Jamie, what a performance! What a performance! His eyes sell it alone. I feel like the stare he gives. Especially when the woman Sandy that he's living with at one point drops the knife on the ground. And he's like, I'll get it. And she grabs it. And he's like, I said,
I'll get it.
And the stare he gives is like, holy shit. This kid, some things online had said that he's autistic. And I guess maybe it might say it on the back of the cover of the movie. I'm not sure. I've seen people suggesting that. I feel like he's just a really creepy kid who has some very strict rules about the roles of men and women in a relationship. He's very, the men do this and the women do this, and that's how things are. I don't really know where he kind of learned that mentality. Well, he does it a lot to Sandy. He's like...
Well, his dad seems like a prick from what little we see of him. Like, he doesn't want to talk to him. He wants to talk about him to him. Like, every sentence... He says to Sandy when they're interviewing her, the wife cuts in and he means this, he means that. So I don't think his father's a good person.
I got some little trivia bits before we start delving into this. The original screenplay differed greatly from the final draft. According to screenwriter Ian Stewart, besides the being a much darker, more serious movie, the Trogs were supposed to be entirely in the mind of the Jamie character. These changes were supposedly made by director Lou Lemon. The director's wife refused to let him shoot the nude scenes, so the screenwriter shot them instead. They only shot The only shot involving nudity the director was allowed to film was the skinny dipping scene, only because the actress was his daughter.
Oh, that's all kinds of creepy. Wow. It's okay to jerk it to my own girl's titties.
Ugh. The original Trog costumes were deemed not realistic enough, so new costumes were created in Los Angeles, and the interior pit scenes were shot on a soundstage in Toronto, Ontario. Yeah. So there's some little interesting trivia bits about 1981's The Pit. This movie, like I was saying before, Sammy Snyder, who played Jamie, that kid is something else. It's a definitely...
I felt bad for him, because even though he was creepy in places, everybody just seemed to have it out for him everywhere he fucking turned. And I don't even
understand why.
For no reason.
Yeah. Really, nobody really had any good reasons to, like, really hate him. I mean, he was kind of creepy, but when he talked to other kids, he wasn't creepy. He mainly was creepy around adult women that he, like, was just so obsessed with.
Well, can you blame him? He's 12. You know, he wants to get it in.
He's a 12-year-old boy that still gets baths.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, he asked Sandy for a bath. I was like, oh, all right, little pimp making his move. And then when she's like, okay... So yeah, she's shoving him in the tub, and then he says, oh, my mom washes me all the time. I don't think I'm that dirty. Like, how fucked up is his family, too? Like, I know the kid's bad, he's kind of screwed up, and he's done some bad things, but he's just been shit on by everyone around him. Failed spectacularly.
Though I feel the old woman in the wheelchair had a little bit of a right to be mad at him, because she saw him swing on a swing naked with only a Superman cape on.
Oh, it was on a rope, for one.
Okay.
Well. So that's entirely different. But so what? Like, well, sometimes you just gotta be nude in your own backyard. And if she just happened to see him, oh well, bitch.
And the librarian...
If the old woman saw him, who was blind, unless it was the other old woman that was pushing her
around.
Maybe
it was the other old
woman. Because the old woman in the wheelchair, they said, was blind. So, and he made me blind, goddammit. That fucking 12-year-old Wang. God!
Yeah, the biggest wang I ever seen on a 12-year-old. It blinded me for life.
It burns us! It burns us!
No, I guess... And maybe the librarian, who was the aunt, right? She was the aunt?
She was the ginger girl's aunt. She wasn't his aunt.
Yeah. Well, she might have a little bit of anger towards him because he would return books with cutout pictures.
Well, cut out nude pictures. If you don't want kids to have access to nude pictures, you don't keep them in a fucking school library. So she's mad because he cut out one nude picture.
I did like how the teacher was like, oh, can you fix this? Oh, yeah, we just have cutouts laying around from the books in case anybody cuts the pictures out. Yeah. We have them so we can fix the book. She's like, no, we'll just have to rip the page out. And the teacher was kind of like, oh, why can't you just fix it? Like, yeah. It was just like,
Let me just reach into my box of spare book parts.
Oh, it just so happened to have this naked woman perfectly fit in here.
Oh, that reminds me of a bit from the also 1981 movie Student Bodies, when a babysitter is taking a bite out of a chicken leg and somebody scares her from behind. It turns out to be her boyfriend, but apparently she took the bite clean out. Then drop both the leg and the bite she took on the floor. So then after they get murdered and the parents come home, the dad walks into the kitchen and finds the chicken leg with a piece taken out of it. He goes, chicken, holds up the two pieces, broken, and gets a rubber band and ties it together and puts it back in the fridge.
Well, and this movie started out in a very interesting way. It kind of just starts.
Yeah.
There's nothing before it. I was worried.
I was afraid we were missing something because it just jumps in on this scene. Like, literally, I was like, oh, okay.
And I don't know if it was the YouTube upload or not, but I'm assuming not, because the scene you see in the beginning comes into play later on.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, you see Jamie, not his face. He's in, like, a costume. I don't know what kind of ghost.
Scary ghost costume.
I don't know if it was supposed to be a ghost, necessarily, because it wasn't just, like, a sheet draped over him. He had it, like, tied off at certain spots. I almost thought maybe he was trying to be a little KKK boy or something.
Sometimes you gotta tie off.
And so that he goes and it cuts to these weird bullying scenes, and I thought maybe the video was screwed up or something. that, the scene wasn't supposed to be here now, and somebody, like, cut it up or something, and it's all fucked up, and while we're seeing these bullying scenes at a school, which would make more sense for the beginning. No, it's just, like, this flashback to when he got bullied at school, and he got punched in the face. And I like how he goes up to the guy. He's like, "Are you whatever so-and-so?" And he's like, "Yeah." Can't you
tell that he is? Because he's not really hiding his face, except maybe an eye patch.
Yeah, and he's like, I got something to show you. And then, like, who would just go along with it?
Well, yeah, well, I especially love his story. Oh, I found a bag of jewels. It must have been left by some robbers or something. I can't take it home, so I want you to have it. It's probably worth millions. Like, really? You couldn't come up with a better story than that?
And then the kid goes
along. How about, hey, want to go smoke some weed in the woods? I got it. Like, you know, that would be way more believable.
The thing is, though, and the kid who is the bully, how can he not tell it's Jamie?
Oh, especially when he calls himself out, he's just like, I'll let you have it, as long as you let me join your club and promise not to hit me anymore. Oh, yeah. Gee, I wonder who this is.
Yeah, and even if not that, his voice is so distinct in the way he talks.
He's trying to talk a little lower and more threatening, but you could still tell it's totally him. Like, oh,
and why? Then the girl who's with the bully, she's like, I don't want to go over there. There's weird stuff going on. She's the only one with any smarts, but the boyfriend, like, drags her along.
Oh, she does. We'll find out later. She doesn't have any smarts.
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah. And then, okay. So, it's really weird. This didn't make any sense to me. Okay, Jamie is standing next to the girl, okay, when the bully goes over to the bag of jewels.
Mm-hmm.
Then Jamie ends up behind the guy. You can see him sneak over behind the bully to push him in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't the girl be like, look out behind you? Or like, what is he doing? He's creeping behind you. Like, you can clearly see him. And, you know, he's wearing a white sheet.
Why does anything happen in this movie? Oh, man.
So, yeah, he pushes the bully in. And
then we get the opening credits.
And it's just like,
and
brrr! The pit.
Yeah.
Just like this screeching sound, and then the title comes up, and then now it's the credits. And Jamie really is like kind of he's like a freak. He's like a weird little kid.
He's not that little. He's kind of tall for his age.
Yeah. That's why I thought maybe they were going to reveal that he was a man. Like he had like Gary Coleman syndrome or something. He was really a man posing as a 12-year-old boy. Especially because the one little girl, Abigail, she kept...
Abigail, not Abigail. Abigail. Check the credits.
She kept saying, like, he's a little person or something. He's not a little boy.
No, funny person.
Yeah, so I really thought it was going to end up being that he was like a man or something that was really terrorizing these people. But it cuts to his teddy bear right away after the opening credits. Okay, the teddy bear. How does its head move by itself?
Oh, yeah.
This
whole thing is ridiculous because he's talking to this teddy bear, which you could buy, like, okay, he doesn't have friends. He still has an imaginary friend. Then he hears its voice in his head, but it's his voice with, like, reverb on it. And, like, when he answers his babysitter Sandy a couple times from his room, you hear, like, the reverb shit. Like, is that the teddy bear talking to her? And then at one point, she comes into his room when he's not there and she leaves. And then, like, the head moves to look at her. But, like, if the teddy bear is its own thing, why doesn't it have more of a purpose in the story? It doesn't really have one.
No.
Other than to talk to
Jamie.
Talk to Jamie and, like, push him along towards evil things, but, like, why? How did this happen? Why is this going on?
Like, maybe, I was thinking of maybe think, like, oh, it's gonna have the, like, soul of, like, a killer inside of it or something. But
they never do anything with it. The whole movie ends with no explanation, no real point to this teddy bear.
And I couldn't understand when its head moved. I was like, they have to elaborate on what's happening now with this teddy bear. They're building it more and more, and now they built it to this point.
I could have even seen if, like, they would have played it like somehow he had, like, a split personality thing going on, and he just thought there was another person, and, like, somehow he had, like, telekinesis too, and like he was doing that to make himself think he really did have a friend in the bear, but no, they don't do that. So why?
God. Yeah.
So they cut to him getting in trouble in class for, you know, taking this book of nude photos.
Yeah, creative nude photography.
Well, I'd assume it was for, like, art students, since you have to draw a lot of nudes being an art student. But, like, why would you put that in a junior high library if you don't want kids to have it?
Was it part of the school, or was it just from the library? I thought it was
from from the school library, because the teacher brings it back to her.
I thought maybe that library was separate, like, she just walked it, but she just took it back to the library.
No, no, because later on, he's in the public library, and then the school librarians, they're spying on him. Like, oh, what books did he check out? Oh, fuck you, stalker. Yeah. Is it any of your goddamn business?
What about fathering animals?
Yeah, animal husbandry.
Yeah, animal husbandry, yeah.
But he gets in trouble for having this book of nudes in the class. So then his teacher is making him write on the chalkboard how many times, I won't bring adult books or photos to class. And she's like, you know, don't talk, keep writing. And then she asks him about the book, like, well, what do you want, bitch? You want me to not talk or what? So then she's like, here, I'm going to take the book back and, you know, you can go home. She goes, rub it off and go home.
So, well, he tells her that the book was already had the picture written. Out of it,
mm-hmm.
And then after the whole discussion about fixing it, the librarian goes into the thing and opens up this letter.
Oh, yeah,
she opens up the letter, and it has like her head on the body of the naked woman, and then she's like freaked out by this. So that's what I mean.
I didn't get that came from a letter. I thought he just had that folded and put in the book somewhere.
She opened it up out of an envelope.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was...
I couldn't tell that was her head either, just because she wears these giant Coke bottle glasses that are, like, half-darkened, so they looked really weird. It looked to me like a guy's head on a naked woman's body. I was like, oh, boy, Jamie's a little creative.
Oh, yeah. And this kid's, like, a major creep. Like, even though, like, everyone's so mean to him and whatever, and you feel bad for him for those aspects, he is a major creep on older women. Yeah. Like, I get it, he's 12, and he's going through puberty and shit, but, like, I was 12 and went through puberty, but I wasn't, like, creeping on older women, like, constantly. Well,
you know what, Corey? They didn't accept MILFs and cougars back then like they do now, and if they did, poor Jamie would have fit in just fine. He'd have been banging his divorced neighbors, and maybe even some of the married ones, and things would be all right.
I liked when the old woman walked by him, the old woman in the wheelchair, and the other old woman.
Oh, before
and
that...
She's like, he's gonna grow up. Into a hippie, into one of those hippies.
Oh, did she say hippie?
Yeah, she said hippie.
Oh, I couldn't tell what she said exactly, but, like, first he goes off and he sees this stupid ginger girl, and, like, he's walking up to her bike, and, like, he's, like, you know, touches it, like, just looking at it, not even doing anything with it, and she just comes up and just, like, goes into hyper-bitch mode, like, one of the biggest hater-ass cunts I have ever seen. He goes... Don't touch my bike. Why don't you go back where you came from, funny person? I'll tell your father and it'll be too bad for you. They'll take you away. They'll take him away. The men in white are going to put him in an insane asylum for touching another person's bike. Really? You fucking cunt.
And later on, she even says, oh, gosh, she has so many great lines in this movie.
Well, I wish she would have stuck around longer just because she was so impossibly bitchy.
She's like, oh, just walk into another person's driveway, like you own it or something.
Well, for one, the public sidewalk, which anyone could be on, is right there. He took two steps onto your driveway.
And it wasn't even the driveway, they were in the grass.
Oh yeah, okay.
That's what I couldn't understand. I didn't even see a driveway.
But immediately after he gets bitched out by the stupid ginger girl, he's standing at the end of the driveway and takes, like, a step back, and instantly this old bitch pushing another old bitch in a wheelchair are right there, and they're just like, oh, excuse you. Fuck you!
Yeah, and then
this is like the worst neighborhood ever.
Then the old blind
woman... Even if he is creepy, he should just be setting all these people's houses on fire, because fuck them.
Yeah, seriously. They are really rude to him. I mean, he is really creepy, but the only people that should be mad at him are the people that he's creeping on.
Yeah, and not like, these people...
Not these random people. And, like, the old woman is like, he's going to end up turning into one of those, you know, hippies. Yeah. Like, how? How does that make him a hippie?
Well, the one in the wheelchair can't even see. She's blind. Oh, just not right, that boy. Oh, well, you know what you say? Boys always grow up into men. Yes, but into what? That's what. Probably into one of those hippies.
Like, yeah, and then when the parents are talking to Sandy, I think in the beginning, right after that, they're like, he's a normal boy who lives in his own head. I was like, that doesn't sound like a normal boy.
If you're introverted, it is. Thank you.
Yeah, I guess. That it was just like a weird thing to say, as in like...
More like he's forced to live in his own head because nobody else will let him in.
Yeah.
And his parents talk shit about him the whole time. And even Sandy, who's trying to play like the nice person here, like, oh, I've dealt with exceptional children before. Some of them were real terrors. Like, great. So you think he's going to be the same? And when he catches her talking to her boyfriend, she calls him like a little monster a couple times. Yeah. Like, wow, thank you for that.
Yeah. Well, I didn't mean like as in like talking into his own head and then like. Introvert, I meant talking in his own head, as in he's talking to the bear, so he's talking in his own head, and he is kind of split personality. That's not really a normal boy.
No, she didn't clarify that.
Well, that's how I took it. Normal boys aren't don't have split personalities, and their other personality is inside of a teddy bear.
Fuck you, Corey. I'm a strong, beautiful black woman, and there's nothing you can do about it. So what'd I miss? Something about the old lady? And...
I would have loved if Jamie was like that, like... It really, there was no bear. He was, like, the bear the whole time.
He was the bear.
Well, like, that was his other personality, was Teddy.
Okay. Like, what if he was a bear the whole time? And he was just wishing he could be a human and creeping on women and looking at nude photos.
Maybe that's what it is.
When he took those photos, he left them by the bear, and Teddy goes, oh, I'm gonna be looking at these a lot.
Well, yeah, maybe
he's just a sexually repressed teddy bear and the whole movie was a dream.
Yep, maybe there was no Jamie. It's just about a teddy bear. There was no Jamie. Jamie was Teddy Bear's imaginary friend. Jamie was the one throwing people to the trollologs. The kid is definitely kind of crazy and kind of creepy. I mean, he's naked swinging on a rope. But I don't know, they just dump him off at Sandy's house. Like, oh, we're going on a trip. We're going to drop you off at this psychology student's house or whatever.
I thought they were at their own house. And she just moved in.
That's what happened. For some reason, I thought they dropped him off because they were in the car with him at one point. But then, yeah, you're right. They were at his house. The kid is a mega perv. He definitely... Yeah,
she's eating dinner with them, and he, like, purposely drops his napkin, like, oh, drop my napkin, just to sneak under the table and get, like, an upskirt shot of Sandy.
And then when they're together...
Which, good for him, by the way.
When they're together in the kitchen, he's, like, just staring at her boobs the entire time. Like, his eyes are just constantly going, like, you can watch his eyes just constantly staring. He loves boobs.
He loves boobs. What a crazy kid.
No, but I mean, just like, he's just like, I don't know, for a 12-year-old, he's just definitely a little perverted 12-year-old. He does some really creepy perverted things.
He is just ahead of his age bracket.
This is true. He's very mature for his age, and he just wants to be a man. That's what I mean, like, where she dropped the knife, and he's like, I'll get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just wants to be the man role so bad, and, But Teddy is also a perv.
Yeah.
Because Teddy is the one that kind of tells him to, like, ghost. Like, once she goes in the bedroom, she'll start getting undressed. It's the perfect time to go see her.
Yeah. So she goes to tuck him in, which is kind of weird for a 12-year-old boy. And notice he's trying to do his little pimp thing. At least I swear his shirt is almost half unbuttoned laying there in bed with her. He's like, would you read to me?
Yeah, and her PJs are basically see-through.
Oh, yeah.
And they do a zoom-in side boob shot of her see-through pajamas.
Mm-hmm.
It was real, like, if that was supposed to be, like, Jamie's supervision or something.
Yeah, once again, he's just staring hard at them titties and then, like, waits for her to leave, and then Teddy suggests that to him. So he goes, Jamie, could you bring me a glass of water? And notice she fills it up from the hot side. Like, here, have this hot water before bed. What the fuck?
Yeah, and he's instantly obsessed with her. There's no, like, you know, there's not, like, a little while to get to know her or anything like that. He's just instantly obsessed with her.
And then they just cut. They don't even bother to let you know, oh, yeah, she's in bed now and it's night. They just cut to a tit shot. Like, her shirt's half undone. It just happens to be like, oh, my left tit's just hanging out perfectly. Yeah, so then she wakes up with him. Just
pure nipple.
With him just standing there staring at the exposed titty. And then she freaks out. And, what are you doing here? He goes, I was just watching you sleep. That's all.
Oh, that's normal. That's perfectly normal of a kid, of a woman you just met. But yeah, the nipple shot I felt was like a POV shot, like from Jamie's point of view.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm looking like right at this nipple.
So as he's sulking his way out, he goes, I wouldn't hurt you. After all, I'm only 12.
Yeah, and he mentions that he wants to tell Sandy about the pit.
Oh, I have this secret that nobody else knows about it. Want to hear it? Well, like, he does tell her. He just doesn't let her know where it is. Like, there's this big hole in the forest, and there's these creatures down in there. And, like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah. He's like, they're called trolls, or trollologs.
Yeah.
I was like, trollologs, or trogs? Like, I've never heard anybody call trolls trollologs. Is that, like, troll is short for trollolog, really? Yeah. Yeah, and he tells her about the trollologs, and, oh, God, it's... They're probably, and he goes, I can't remember what I was going to say. Oh, and then he goes to the trollologs, and he tells the trollologs that he told Sandy.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote down, like, the trollologs are probably thinking, why the fuck would you tell anybody about this? Like, are you stupid, kid? Come on. Why would you tell anybody about this? This is our thing. This is our thing.
Bros before hoes, man. Come on. Yeah,
come on. Who cares if you're obsessed with her? You could have fed her to us. And this little redheaded bitch, she ends up saying, like, oh, she kind of... You think... She's talking to her aunt about him at one point, and she's like, oh, he's clumsy, stupid. And while they're her and her aunt are doing some sort of aerobics or something, and she's talking about him, and her aunt's like, oh, you should give him another chance. So later on, we see her giving him another chance with this whole bike thing, like, oh...
Yeah, she's got it upside down like she was working on it. She's like, I've thought about it, and you really aren't a funny person. Would you like to ride my bike? And apparently he doesn't have a bike, which is pretty stupid for somebody.
He got it taken away from him because of swinging on the swing naked.
Yeah, but, you know, like, he doesn't have a bike, so why wouldn't he want to ride one again? So he's like, okay, he goes and gets on it, and it falls apart because she had it, like, taken into pieces. And she just cackles at him like a fucking hyena.
Oh, it's just so funny because I told him he could ride my bike, and then it broke apart because I made it that way.
And then the aunt gets pissed at him and, like, yeah, kicks him out. Yeah. Like, he did something wrong.
Yeah, the aunt's like, get out of here. And he's like, I didn't even do anything. And yeah, I wrote down, like, oh, now the redheaded bitch likes Jamie. I genuinely thought she was changing her mind. Like, her aunt had persuaded her to change her mind. And I was like, oh, no, this bitch just tricked him. And then this other bitch comes out and starts yelling at him for something he didn't even do. And that's about when Teddy turns his head for the first time, and I fucking lost my shit, you know. The bath scene, though,
Sandy walks into his room and finds him with another porno mag, black and white, apparently, which, how unfortunate is that? But she's like, this type of magazine doesn't make sense. How does it not make sense for a 12-year-old to be looking at porn? Fuck you! And then as she walks out, that's when Teddy turns his head at her, like, oh, is something gonna come of this? Nope.
Yeah. Okay, so she's giving him a bath. One, what 12-year-old is getting baths? I don't know too many 12-year-olds that get baths. And I felt like she's leading him on now.
Yeah.
You're leading this kid on now. Like, you know he's obsessed with you.
Okay, get naked,
you know
he loves you. Rub on you.
Yeah, now, and then, like, and then, but I still couldn't believe it. I still was just like, what the fuck? Like, bath, really?
I'll be under the suds. You won't see anything unless you want to. The thing is, though,
he might have had a chance at this point, okay? He might have had a chance with her at this point. But then he goes into creeper mode and says... You washing me?
Yeah.
Completely ruined it. You fucked up right there, Jamie. You blew it. You had your chance.
I don't think the line was bad, just his delivery was off.
Oh, yeah.
He could have said it smoother, like, you like washing me?
But he's like, Do you like washing me?
Like, the water's going to town underwater.
Do you like washing me?
I like washing myself, especially down there. And then he has to fuck it up even more by bringing his mom into the conversation. I'm naked with this chick while she's rubbing on me. Let's bring up my mom. You know, my mom washes me all the time, but I don't think I'm that dirty, do you?
She's always trying to clean me, to make me clean. Like, that made me feel like his mom's just beating him off. And so. No. I gotta clean your dick again, Jamie. Thoroughly.
Look, Mom, I made some of my own suds in the water.
When that white stuff comes out, Jamie, that means you're fully clean.
Oh,
all clean, Jamie.
Hold on, Sandy. I'm not clean yet. I know because my mom told me.
Hold, go get my jar. My mom puts my special stuff in.
Oh, no.
She collects it.
Can you imagine how terrible that would smell?
It's my clean jar.
Hope you're ready for the gallon challenge, Sandy.
She's like, I'll go for the physical challenge. It's like double dip style.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy.
Ugh.
So, I don't understand what he's been feeding the troll logs until they finally show him go to the meat store?
He asked Sandy, what do you think they eat? She goes, I don't know, chocolate bars, I suppose. So he goes and buys a bunch of candy bars and drops those down there. And nothing happens.
Right, like, what the fuck is this?
So that's when he goes to the library to check out those books while the school librarian is creeping on him in the public library and then asks him, what books is he checking out? Fuck you, that's what books he's checking out.
But the thing
out.
Is, at this point even, I thought about this many times until we finally seen the scene. As far as we know, the scene in the very beginning where he pushes the kid down there happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep thinking, does nobody care about this kid that got pushed down this hole? What about the girl? She clearly ran off and told somebody that he got pushed down there. So the whole time I'm like, oh, nobody in this town gives two shits about some missing kid.
Well, it turns out they don't, but it just hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. So Jamie, or Sandy, is talking to his teacher. They go for a jog together. I don't really know how they know each other. I don't know how they get in this predicament where they go for a jog together, how she's invited over to the house.
I don't know. Maybe his parents just forwarded her contact information to the teachers and like, here, call this
person.
But
they're talking, and she's saying all of a sudden, like, oh, he's a whiz at science, and he likes frogs a lot. Oh, and she goes, can't spell. And Sandy goes,
well, who can?
I was like, everyone?
Well, I don't know. I've seen plenty of people that were retarded at it back then. Now that we got spell check, like, oh, I don't need to know how to spell anything.
Yeah, that's true. But, like, still, I was just like, who can spell? I don't know. Nobody spelling.
Not this bitch, that's for sure.
And then I love when it cuts to the meat cutting. And the guy's just, like, chopping up the meat. And then Creeper Jamie's just standing on the other side of the counter watching him do all this. And he's like, I need a lot of meat. I need this.
Something with it. I'll get a lot for my money. Oh, you want some hamburger or some? Well, yeah, both. Well, we're doing more of a mixture. Okay.
The way he talked was so weird. I should play a clip in the middle of this because just so everybody can know how the... Yeah! Oh, it's for five
people.
And then we finally get our first look at the trollologs, and holy shit, they look really interesting. It's a little far away view, so you really don't get the close up view on their faces like you do later on in the movie.
But still,
they look like little hairy midget cavemen.
Yeah, well, these things are real, all right.
Yeah, because really, you don't know if they're real or not until you finally see them down inside this pit. Eating all this meat up. Super creeped on Sandy when he wrote I love you on the mirror while she's taking a shower with her own lipstick.
Right. Well, what's even worse is the bathroom door has a plate glass window in it that you can just see through. So mm-hmm. his family is obviously not fostering any sense of privacy by letting anybody peep into the bathroom at any time.
They're giving him baths, so, I mean, they're jerking him off in the bathtub all the time, so, I mean...
Well, I know, but, like, he really freaks out about that, but really, like, after hearing what he said about his mom and then noticing, oh, see-through bathroom door, like, is it really that bad?
And she screams at the top of her lungs when she sees the thing on the mirror. But I guess that would be kind of creepy to turn around and all of a sudden you see writing on the mirror.
In red.
In your own lipstick.
Which might look a little more like blood at first. Like, I love you or I know what you did last summer.
Yeah, and then she scolds Jamie to no end, and, you know, he's all upset and sad. He goes and sees Abigail again, and that's when she's like, well, isn't it clumsy, stupid?
Oh, no, he goes to get more meat for the things to feed them after stealing money from Sandy's purse to pay for it because he's out of his money. And he just sort of runs out because he's trying to hide the fact that the butcher knows that his parents are gone. He's still trying to claim he's buying
meat for
dinner.
Are you freezing it? And she's like... Yeah, the woman Sandy, I guess she would freeze it.
I guess she'll take care of it. So then he just, like, runs out. Like, he ran in the first place, then he just runs out for no reason and bumps into them. He's like, oh, sorry, grabs his shit and goes. And the bitch goes, well, if it isn't clumsy, stupid. And she's like, leave him alone, Abigail. He's just a child. Like, that's not a child. It's a, like, stop. And she just goes, like, I don't want you talking about any other child like that, even if they are strange. And she's like, buying meat. He probably sits under his porch and eats it raw. What the fuck? Where in God's name would you ever get that?
Yeah, like,
glad she dies because this bitch would have grown up into, like, the uberest hater ever.
Seriously.
Like, what, you want to buy me a drink? Maybe next you want to buy me a chastity belt to keep my genitals under control.
Yeah, and my favorite part of the whole movie probably was the kidnapping recording.
Oh my god, yes.
Because this is really genius. This kid is like, is so smart. How does he figure to do this? He records, he makes this recording that he puts on a payphone. Which one, I don't know why he needed a payphone, because... At this point in time, there was no caller ID.
Yeah, but cops could still trace the calls. It'd just be a lot harder to do, but so you wouldn't want to come back to your house.
Yeah, true. So he puts it on this recording on a payphone, this long, drawn-out, super well-planned recording about, like, I have Abigail. I have your niece. And if you don't meet up with me, I'm going to kill her. Because I really want you. I don't want to stare at her.
He forces
this woman to take her clothes off by thinking that her niece is going to be murdered.
Well, he liked watching her do her aerobics in, like, the spandex thing, which is, like, you know, no legs, like, just a tiny little thing covering her crotch, but, like, a full top, like, and, like, she's doing it right in her living room window where he could watch, and, you know, that's, like, a thing, like, oh, watch your neighbor do something sexy, but, like, this just kicks it up to, like, a whole other level.
Yeah, like, I'm gonna create this thing and...
fake kidnapping.
And he's like...
And get you to get topless for me I can snap Polaroids.
I can see you. I'm right outside your window.
So she doesn't bother to look out the window, really. She looks out the front one, but doesn't look around and just... All right, this is what you want. Like she just immediately falls for it. Like, she doesn't try to do anything about the cops or... How stupid are you?
Well, she didn't want her niece to die. She didn't know what this crazy freak on the phone is going to do.
She knows Jamie's voice. Like, she couldn't tell...
But he's going like this again.
Like, she couldn't tell it was him. Oh, my God.
Dan, if I talk like this, you don't know it's me, okay? So... Jamie.
I guess I'll just have to talk like this, like Madonna did as the Blank and Dick Tracy, and nobody can tell who it is.
He was trying to channel a future Christian Bale as Batman, okay?
Oh, God. Where are the other drugs going?
Or it could be like a Bane-like thing, like,
show me your boobies. I have your Abigail. If you want to see her again, show us your boobies for the citizens of Gotham.
There will be consequences if I do not see the titties.
Take control of your titties.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, she gets him she starts stripping while he's taking these Polaroids, which
he gets one in mid-strip, then he gets one good shot of her topless, and then the little hater bitch just has to come in and ruin the whole kidnapping story.
She's like, what are you doing?
I was just undressing is all. Yeah. As she's like trying to keep from crying. Like, wouldn't you immediately then, if somebody's saying, oh, I'm out the window, wouldn't you immediately look out there, run out there, call the cops, something?
Well, she's crying because she got tricked into stripping, and two, she's crying maybe out of happiness because her niece is actually alive and not kidnapped in some dungeon somewhere. So... Jamie,
maybe she should have been in a dungeon since she's such a crab. Yeah. dungeon is crap? No? Hey, maybe that doesn't work. Oh, well.
Well, Jamie eventually is caught stealing money from Sandy, and he flips his shit.
Yeah, she takes him on a walk in the park to talk to him about honesty, and as soon as she lets on she knew what happened, he just runs away to, like, the pavilion thing. And she's like, you know, I won't be mad, just admit it, you know, I can't take this dishonesty from you. So then he just runs away again. And, like, she loses him and finally catches up to him, and he just pops up and steals some flowers out of, like, one of the big things made in the park there. I picked you some flowers, because that makes up for your thievery dishonesty.
Stealing all kinds of money from this woman that you've only known for a short amount of time.
I miss the days of being a kid, though. Whenever you got in trouble for something, just run away.
Run away?
Did you set your sister on fire?
And if you do get caught, make sure there's some flowers nearby.
Well, I picked you some flowers. I guess we could pick her up from the burn unit next week, right?
So now he's resorted to stealing meat because he can no longer steal meat. Yeah.
So he decides to try to jack an entire beef leg off a truck that's sitting there just, like, open so that anybody could get in it, because that's a good idea. So he's trying to jack this giant beef leg, can't do it. And, hey, what are you doing? And again, just run off, and everything's fine.
Yeah, and then he tries to steal a cow, which is a very jokey moment with these sounds like,
I know, it's so stupid. He's like, well, come on, Mr. Cow. I got these friends that are real hungry, and I want to take you to see them. They're hungry, and they want to see you. Maybe you can talk business. Like, what the fuck? He's like, I got to take you to see them and make you fall in the hole.
Yeah, and then he's like, oh, I didn't want to do it to you anyway, Mr. Cow.
So then he goes and chases chickens or whatever.
He almost gets a chicken, but then he fails at it, unfortunately. So he tries to get the chickens, but then he realizes, like, after talking to Teddy, like, oh, people, you know, what about all these people that have been so mean to you? What about all these people that have done all these terrible things? So this is everybody in this movie is so gullible when he gets them to come back to buy that pit. The kid in the beginning, which actually ends up happening later on, he tricks so stupidly. When he tricks Abigail, he tells her, oh, there's a trail bet I know of that no girls have ever ridden before, and I bet no girl ever can. Like, oh shit! Better get on that shit right now and do it. Be the first woman to ever ride this trail.
Apparently,
go down in history.
Everybody in this town, their intelligence is inversely proportional to their bitchiness.
I was just like, oh, this is the oldest trick in the book, you know? The old trail nobody's ever ridden thing.
So, like, he knocks her off the bike once they get into the woods, or does he throw something at her to knock her off the bike? Like, that's pretty serious.
Yeah.
Then he steals the bike and rides it and just like, ha-ha, come get it.
Yeah.
So he rides it around the pit to the other side, and she just literally walks right into it. Like, if you're walking into this clearing, you can't see this thing.
Oh, yeah,
bullshit.
The pit is
huge.
She just
steps right into it and just, oh, no!
It's not like he had it covered by leaves or anything else, or...
It's too huge to cover with anything like
yeah.
that, really.
Yeah.
Unless you start knocking whole trees over.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. There's nothing covering it. It's a huge hole. How could
but
you
she
not
just,
see it?
She doesn't even look. She just walks in. Like, why?
Yeah, and
so then he just seems to go on the spree of knocking people in there all in, like, the same day. Like, even if these things are hungry, you really think they're gonna choke down 5 people in a day?
And no one sees him doing any of this stuff, like, taking these people back here. Like, Miss Oliphant, the woman in the wheelchair. Though, thing is, though, I guess she was kind of rude to her, but why didn't he try to kill the other old lady who was way more mean? He kills the blind lady in the wheelchair for what reason?
Well, easy target, for one.
And he does bitching. Say that it was her fault that his bike was taken away. So she is the one that saw him swinging naked.
I guess he did make her go blind.
Yeah. Yeah. And for some reason right there, I don't know why, it was the YouTube video with the quality right there got really terrible.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't even see what was going on.
He just finds her sitting outside in her wheelchair and says, Oh, I'm sorry, I've been a creepy person. I'll take you on a walk, and, like, just takes her, and, like, she doesn't want to go, so you'd think she'd be shouting to people, hey, this creepy person is taking me against my will.
But the only time she's shouting is when they're in the middle of this field and flailing her arms, like, oh!
He said it was, like, over a mile away to this damn pit, so he just, like, runs with her. He's running with her. Just runs at this old lady in a wheelchair the whole way there, and just, like, oh! And just, like, just gets her up to the edge and just drops her in and just, oh, that's the end of that chapter. And, like, who are we going to get now? We forgot to mention there was, Sandy had a boyfriend. He's mad about it. And she took him with her to watch him play in this football game. And then he tries to reach out to him and be like, oh, hey, I'll play catch with you sometime. But, like, I kind of miss that. So, like, they just immediately cut to him. Like, they don't even show him calling him. You just, oh, now we're playing catch on the edge of the woods. And, oh, let's play catch in here. And, like, oh, come on, there's a clearing up here. We can play in there. And,
yeah, the thing is, though, I feel that guy's death was kind of shitty, because the only reason he was mad at him because it was Sandy's boyfriend. The guy was one of the first people to legitimately be nice to this kid.
Yeah.
Whether it was out of being nice because of Sandy or not, he was being nice to this kid and took him to play football.
Uh-huh.
Like, nobody else wanted to do this shit with him.
Like, yeah, so he's just like, oh, go along, and overthrows the thing, and the guy doesn't look and just falls in the hole again.
I love how Jamie...
He's just like, here it is, and he falls in, and there it goes.
I love how Jamie took the wheelchair from Miss Oliphant, too. He starts riding it, like,
because
it's a little electric one, and he starts just going to town on it. I was just like, I don't know. So, like, and then this is when we find out that the first murderer is now. The whole time I'm thinking, there's no investigation for this missing person, there's nothing, whatever. So then it cuts to the scene from the beginning, but not to the, you know, they could have just cut to that scene, and then to him, the kid being pushed in or something, or showing that it was Halloween, and then then cut to the kid being pushed in.
Well, that was weird, because there is no mention of Halloween anywhere in this movie, and suddenly just everybody's in costumes.
Yeah. So, they could have shown, like, alluded to, like, oh, okay, now this is that scene. But instead of them just, showing that and then showing the kid fall in and starting where that scene ended, they show you the entire scene over again. Like, I don't even know why they showed that in the beginning. That part in the beginning really didn't need to be there.
I guess it was just a teaser, because, I mean, if they'd have just started off with, you know, a kid in class with nude pictures, like, what would let you know it was a horror movie?
The trailer for the movie?
Yeah, I guess.
Or they could have had him just talking to the creatures or something, or something else, I guess. I don't know. I just don't get it, because they showed you the same, same 5 to 10 minutes again over again.
So. It wasn't 10 minutes. It was maybe not even 5.
But they show you the whole thing over again. I didn't really understand.
It wasn't that bad.
But, so now we're seeing more of it, though, so that's the good part about seeing the whole thing again, because now you see more of it, which is fine, because you wanted to see what happened anyways. And he knocks that girl out, and I thought...
Well, he's chasing her around after she, you know, does nothing and lets him push her boyfriend into the pit. So then he's chasing her, and she's screaming. So then he's just, like, calling her name. I forget what it was. He's just like, hey, 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 and then, like, he somehow manages to get the drop on her and, like, sneaks up right next to her and then just whispers her name to her. And without a word or a sound or anything, she just passes out. Like, really? Yeah.
She faints. And when she's fainted, I was like, my God, he's gonna rape her. I seriously thought that, because he's so obsessed with just, like, banging.
I think it's pretty obvious the pit is an allegory for rape. So he's already raped 4 people.
One man.
Yeah.
Two men. Like, 2 men, 2 women.
You know, sometimes you're curious at that age, so gotta investigate.
Yeah. So I am like, oh my God, he's so obsessed with just getting his dick wet that he's gonna do it at any cost, that he's gonna end up raping this little girl. But then I'm thinking, there's no one at this point in time that he's, okay, this is the 4th person he's killed. Nobody
fifth,
really
now that he throws her in there.
So 5th person. No, does nobody notice all these missing people yet?
Well,
like, eventually somebody does.
It seemed to happen in the course of a day, and if it did, I guess I could buy it at that point, but...
Yeah, and then, like, He goes, he takes the tutu off of her. That's when
he's
thought he
was... I'm keeping that for myself.
Yeah, and I was then like, why does he need a tutu? I was like, does he have a third personality where he's a ballerina?
So,
I'm a ballerina. Another... Teddy said I could dance the best out of any girl in the whole school. Like, I don't know. It's just like,
yeah, it was weird.
But when he started, that was when I thought the rape thing, when he started taking the tutu off of her, I was just like, oh boy.
Then he gives that speech about, oh, you'll just spend your whole life laughing at other people's pain, so I might as well just kill you, and then you'll be together with your boyfriend in heaven. So, like, he throws her in there, steals the tutu, but then Sandy, like, where was she in all this? Where was the supervision? Like, yeah. Where? She decides to go off with her boyfriend's friend and wonder about where he is and what happened to him. So, apparently, then, they never show this, but apparently, Jamie, like, hides, like, the Polaroids he snapped of the librarian and the camera that he took him with. And the tutu stashes him in his car so that he'll take the blame for this.
And Jamie's, which ended up being her new boyfriend.
I don't know if he was her new boyfriend. I thought he was a friend of...
Yeah, so did I, but then they're at the house alone together, and then he leaves, and he's like, oh, the monster, blah, 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 blah. So I thought it had been a little bit of time since Alan had disappeared.
Maybe. And they don't let you know, so...
Yeah, you never know any sort of time frame. So I just thought maybe it was, you know, I don't know. And, so she ends up slapping Jamie when he, like, flips out on her, and, then I thought at this point, I was like, you know what? She should just hook up with Jamie just not to die. She should just bang this kid and, or kill him yourself. Like, I don't know. You're like, at this point, he's threatening your life and things like that.
Yeah, like he basically lets on, like, all those people, they're not missing, you know? I took him to see the creatures. And, like, so he's basically letting her know that he killed people, but then he's just like, oh, you want to go see the creatures? Okay, sure, I'll do it if you promise you'll leave me alone.
Yeah.
So then she sees him.
If you stop being in love with me.
Yeah. So then she sees him and realizes, holy shit, they're real. And rather than realizing, holy shit, this kid fed all these people to these things, she goes on about, like, oh my god, we need to contact a paleontologist, an anthropologist, and get scientists on this, and then we'll be famous.
Yeah.
What?
She wants to tell the world about it. And
so that's Sandy's vice there.
And
like,
Jamie's like, no, this is our secret.
She's prideful, she just wants to be famous.
This is how I feel the Trollologs felt about him telling her. So he told her, the Trollologs are probably pissed, but then she wants to tell the world, so Jamie's like, this is our secret. This is our thing. What the fuck,
but then
bitch?
Her dumbass, she's kneeling down, staring in there, and he doesn't push her. She just falls in.
Yeah, she ends up slipping because she's near the edge. She ends up, the ground gives a little bit on the edge of it. She ends up slipping, and she's hanging there for a little while, screaming as Jamie's actually trying to help her out of the pit.
But, like, her clothes caught on something, and it rips, and then she just falls in, and that's the end of that chapter.
They actually show the Trollologs more up close at this point, and their faces and stuff, and show them ripping her apart and into pieces.
Well, not really. I mean, you could tell just, like, the fake mouths are just, like fake chomping, just like, there's some fake blood on there. Like,
Show them, like, meat in their hands or, like, guts or something. What looks like guts or something.
For one cut, but that was it.
And, I mean, this is, the parents come back. I still don't understand, I still really don't get how Teddy's head moved. They never, ever elaborated on that.
And the kid's, like, feeding them this stupid story about, like, oh,
she went off with her boyfriend, with her new boyfriend.
Yeah, like, oh, what kind of car do you have? Yellow? Or maybe green? Maybe it was yellow, or maybe green, or you're like, well, which was it, son? Like, he's obviously, you know, not right here, lying to you, but the stupid old cop's just like, oh, whatever.
I really didn't get why he kept changing his mind about the yellow or green part. And then
he starts to get haunted by Sandy's mangled, bloody body for no reason, too, because nothing ever comes of this, either.
Yeah.
He sees her once or twice, like, why did you do this to me, Jamie? Like, he didn't do it to you, bitch! You were too stupid to watch yourself!
Yeah. And then, this is when we find out Jamie planted all the evidence on the new boyfriend. And, okay, so they find the wheelchair.
They get him in the interrogation room, and he's like, oh, look at these Polaroids from the the fake kidnapper calling the librarian lady. So I guess she did call the police girl.
About that. Yeah. They knew about
the tutu from this missing girl. Well, the way I see it, 2 and 2 equals 4. Really? If he says they're not his, did you think to check him for prints? Which would be like, you know, the elementary, like, next step for any cop with half a brain cell. No, the way I see it, 2 and 2 equals 4. So you're convicted on fucking nothing.
And the cop goes out and sits in the wheelchair and is like, oh, everything's falling apart. Why do you think I moved to this place? Like, and he takes off in the wheelchair, and the scene just cuts.
He just, like, rolls himself into the wall or something.
Yeah, it was
like
really
he had
bizarre.
No control, but he's like, you know why I moved to this town? Because nothing ever happens here. How could anyone possibly be missing in this town? Well, I don't know, but they are, so get your fucking ass on it.
Yeah, so Jamie, because he's like, I can't kill any more people because he feels so guilty about Sandy's death, he gives the goddamn troll logs a rope to climb out of the pit.
Yeah, he gives them 2 ropes, and then they do. Like, they wait for him to walk away, but then they just start climbing out. They automatically know what to do. Like, okay.
Yeah, they climb out, and then they start eating people.
But then they're getting, or one of the deputies is getting on, like, the sheriff or head cop or whatever. He's like, legitimately investigating missing persons like this would make me the laughingstock of every police department in the country. Really? Really? Because you're not a laughingstock now, ignoring everything and pretending nothing's happened?
So, they're trying to find the troll logs because they end up hearing about, like, people saying, like, oh, there were dogs, or oh, there were this, or oh,
they saw two people were biking in either a park or some nature area and got attacked by the things, and they find, like, a mauled pile of bloody bones and shit, and like, oh, something's going on.
Yeah, and then they're looking for him, and then they see this one guy, and he's like, is there a zoo around here? Yeah, there's that one zoo nearby. They have those orange Oran things. Like, orangutans? Come on, guy. Are you serious? So then the town ends up finding all the troll logs in the pit.
For some reason, or for no reason, really, you cut to this couple skinny dipping in the same nature area where the biker people got killed. And
well, that's
like,
the daughter.
But yeah. Well, you don't know that, though.
The daughter of the director. Yeah. That's the nudie one that he got to shoot.
Like, they're in the water, and she's like, you know, the guy gets out, and she goes, oh, want to go skinny dipping? He goes, no, I'm too tired. Like, really? Not tonight, honey. I have a headache. Fuck you. So then, like, she wades up to, like, the bank for some reason, and then takes off her top, and you get, like, half a second of tit shot before one of the things grabs her. Oh, no! And then the guy hears a scream finally, comes running, gets eaten, too. And then, like, the mob gets together, because they finally decide they gotta do something about these wild animals. They all get their guns and shit. And, like, apparently they're hot on the trail of these things, despite all this shit having happened a while ago. So, like, they're running, like, oh, just get back to the pit, we'll be safe. They slide down the rope like it's a fucking fireman's pole. Like, they've done this before. Yeah. Like, they know what's going on. And just in time for everybody to get around the thing and see him in the pit anyway. How could they have been surviving down there if they were only in that pit? Answer, they weren't. They had to have tunnels or some kind of other system, other something going on down there. But no, we'll just stay out in plain view and let everybody shoot us to death. And that's the end of it. And then they're just like, oh yeah, we found these things, probably some wild dogs or something, and oh, we're just gonna fill in the hole and act like nothing happened, because then there'd be too many questions, right? You wouldn't want people finding out that all these people died because of these things, so let's just pretend nothing happened.
Yeah, so yeah, he's just like, oh, it was just dogs, honey. No worries about this. Okay, whatever. And then they fill in the pit. Jamie is apparently sent to live with his grandparents. I didn't really understand what was going on, if he was just visiting or if he was sent.
Yeah, like
to
the
live
last
there.
20 minutes of the movie, like, Jamie isn't in it until the very end, and like, okay, is he just dropped from the story now?
Yeah, really. Seriously, I wish they would have elaborated more. I wish he never would have gave the damn things a rope, and they would have elaborated a little bit more, maybe on the teddy bear or something. So then his grandpa's like, oh, this could be your new play friend, Alicia.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes up to her, and she's like, oh, I guess we're like step cousins or something. And he's like, yeah, I guess. And so they go running off, and at this point I'm thinking to myself, what actually happens at the end.
Oh, I totally called it.
I was kind of thinking it, but I was kind of like,
nah. I was like, why would anybody be nice to him unless they're out to fuck him? Because when does that ever happen in this movie?
And I was like, yeah, I don't know if they actually do with this. And then, okay, whatever. They all go off running into a cornfield, and they go off into the woods again, which are basically the same exact woods, because I don't think they can afford digging another hole. So it's like the same woods, but from another angle, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So
they run right up to a pit, and she's just like, oh, see those things down there?
She's like, oh, look what I found. And he's like, oh, my God. Like, I was like, oh, so now Jamie's going to has a new place to kill people at his grandparents' farm. And then, holy fuck, she pushes Jamie like, in.
You know what they eat? Yeah. Boom.
Yeah. And the freeze frame is on Jamie's, like, terrified face as he's falling into the pit. So, yeah, that's the ending of this movie. Literally, the kid dies.
Where do these things come from? What do they have to do with anything? How are they living down there? How are they getting around? No answer. Where's the demonic teddy bear? Why is that happening? No answer. Why does nobody give a shit that all these people, like 9 different people at the end of it, you know, died in whatever town Jamie lived in? Like, no, nobody gives a shit. It's just, ugh.
Yeah. And then I was just like, oh my. I was just like, why didn't they ever make a sequel to this with Alicia? And then maybe some more explanation. I was thinking maybe the teddy bear had something to do with the pit. Like something from the pit, some sort of evil from the pit or something was controlling the teddy bear. And maybe, I thought maybe it was going to be funny when he showed up and he's like talking to the bear like, I'll be right back, Teddy. If he saw Alicia and she had a teddy bear with her.
Yeah.
And like that would have been like an interesting little like link together. Okay, so all these kids have these teddy bears and they all have their own little pits. Like, because you don't really know who this kid is. It's Alicia girl. Like, I don't even understand why she was there at his grandparents' house. Because they lived on a farm, and there was another house for, like, miles. You could see a house way in the distance. Uh-huh. But they lived on a farm, so I really don't understand who she was. She said step-cousin, but I guess I don't really understand how or what or who or whatever. But she, and like, how she has her own pit, and how these pits exist everywhere, and how little fucked-up kids are the only people that find them. So she seemed kind of normal. She seemed more at her wits than Jamie ever did.
Not really, if, like, this kid just showed up and, oh, now I'm just going to murder him and have to explain to my grandparents or whoever they are to me, like, I don't know what happened to him. He's just gone. Dirt, dirt, dirt.
Well, maybe they're,
she's probably on just as fucked up a path as he was.
Yeah. So, who knows? I don't know. Yeah, there was nothing explained at the end. I was really frustrated that there was no explanation of the bear. That was my biggest gripe. I really wanted an explanation of how the bear has had
moved. Well, you know what? Thank God. Like, thank God we had product placement for Old Style and Purity Bread, whatever the hell that is.
And then I was like, what are they going to make the Pit 2 Trillalog Boogaloo? Yeah, I really wish something would have came out of this movie.
I think the next one, they need to do, like, House 2 and, like, get down into the pit and find out it's another dimension, get lost in there with their undead grandpa and God knows what else, and a Mexican chick who's going to get with you even though she can't understand a thing you're saying. And but once again, I feel like just should have had the gang from Land of Doom pop up at the end. Here we go again.
This had a little bit more closure to it, though. Jamie dies. Well, it kind of wasn't... It was a here we go again, because, like...
They don't show him die, though. They freeze frame on his scared face falling in. He could have lived. There could have been a sequel. Jamie could have been a player.
Well, I guess it kind of was here we go again. Like, oh, here's a new killer. Like, take out the old, in with the new. So
that way you have a franchise, but you don't have to keep paying the same actor.
Though that kid ended up not doing anything anyways, so, you know. And he was in The Littlest Hobo. He was
That sounds like a movie we need to do.
He was on the show Huckleberry Finn and Friends.
Oh, boy.
He played Tom Sawyer for 26 episodes. And that's about it. He wasn't really in much else. There's no
picture. The Littlest Hobo. We need to look into that. Like The Littlest Pet Shop, but like, this is for dirt balls. The Littlest Hobo.
Yeah, and then the woman who played Sandy, Jeannie Elias, she seemed to have a pretty big role in in a lot of video games and voice acting nowadays. Pink Panther and Pals, more recently TV show she was on, As Told by Ginger on Nickelodeon, Super Mario Brothers show.
Scroll down, I want to see more of the voices.
Yeah, she's a lot of video games as of late, but As Told by Ginger, seemed like she was on the whole series.
Naruto, oh my god.
She did some Naruto voices. She did some Jackie Chan Adventures, 12 episodes, a lot of video game work. But yeah, she's a voice actor. She's on The Oblongs.
Oh, God, I might remember that name from that show now. Who is she?
Beth Oblong, Creepy Susie,
Mikey Okay, Butts. Yeah, yeah. So she was the little girl with the thing on her head.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, Quack Pack. She did Huey Duck. 39 episodes. You know, she did a lot of voice work. Dennis the Menace, she played Margaret on Dennis the Menace. Pugsley Adams on Adam's Family Cartoon. That's a series I enjoyed. She's in Where's Waldo. Yeah, Super Mario Super Show, she played Princess Toadstool.
Ha! Oh my god. Wow.
Yeah.
At least we got to see Peaches, huh? Yeah. Or one of them, anyway.
No, you get to see both in the shower scene, so...
You know. Oh, I thought it was only side boob in the shower.
Maybe it was. I thought it was full on, but who knows. So yeah, that was 1981's The Pit. I mean, I really don't... It was a really ridiculous movie about a really interesting boy who had a really interesting teddy bear that we never got to learn more about. The poster is really creepy. I mean, it really gives out the creep vibe that is Jamie. But next week, we are going to cover Ghoulies 3, Ghoulies Go to College. It was recommended to us on Twitter, so if you have any suggestions you want to give us, Twitter seems to be the more popular place to do so, but also emailing and whatnot. So
unfortunately, this one isn't on Netflix or even YouTube, right? You have to...
Yeah, you're going to have to rent it for like $1 or something on Amazon Instant Video.
Yay.
So, I mean, it's no big deal. I mean, you know, not everybody's probably going to be able to watch this one like the rest. But it looks to be absolutely insane and ridiculous.
I don't know why this wouldn't be on Netflix.
Yeah, it seems like the perfect movie for Netflix. And especially Ghoulies, like, oh, maybe they wouldn't have the first one, but I could definitely see them having 2, 3, and 4 or something like that. But they're out of the bowl and totally out of control. College teacher brings the little creatures back to his campus where they proceed to terrorize the faculty and students. Well, that ends this episode number 14, or 15, sorry about that. I forgot to say before, episode number 15 of B-Movie Breakdown.
Yeah, don't be fucking that up. Our podcast wants its provisional license.
But, so for B-Movie Breakdown, I'm Corey.
I'm DRC.
And Abigail's missing, and so is Mrs. Oliphant, aren't they? And Freddy, and Christina? They don't eat chocolate bars. You know what they eat.
Well, if it isn't clumsy, stupid.
It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst.